So, arm ports. This is supposed to be a BOF, so I've diligently not given you any fancy slides. Port status, a little bit of background on what other people are doing, and then we get to argue about Raspberry Pis and the ARM64 port are the basic subjects I think need to be discussed. So, as you know, we have an ARMEL port and an ARMHF port, and I hope we'll have an ARM64 port soon. ARMEL, for those of you who don't keep up with these exciting details, is ARMv4-T instruction set, and EABI and no floating point. ARMHF is EABI compile for ARM version 7 and VFP3 floating point instructions, and THUMB2, importantly, which is actually 16-bit instructions. Right, so both those ports still exist. We have the annual question of should we change the ARMEL port to a V5 base? I.e., are there any V4-T machines left in the world anyone cares about? Does anyone have any V4-T machines they still care about in this room? V4-T, which is. Right, of course. Okay. And I saw someone using an OpenMoCo yesterday, so there's at least one. And as far as I can tell, there is actually very little to be gained from that change, except that the GCC people have pretty much given up maintaining the 4T part. So at some point, something will probably break. But until that does, I can't see much point changing things. But if anyone's desperate for that extra 3% or whatever you get, say so. And come here. It is on. That was they're probably.
At least in Chromium, there was constant trouble with inline assembler or whatever.
Yeah, so increasing, nobody else in the world builds anything for V4-T, so we will find things that break. So, yes, we can save ourselves some aggravation, I think, and that will increase over time. So it's a trade-off between, like, yeah, how hard is it to build Chromium versus how many people still use their OpenMoCos. Have we got anyone who, poor soul, who has to actually make Chromium build an ARM here? No? Good work, sir. Yeah, so I don't have any strong opinion about that. I'm inclined to leave it as it is until somebody bitches really hard. But, you know, increasingly, I don't use my OpenMoCo anymore. It is getting to be, as I say, mostly because the toolchain people aren't taking much notice. It will become painful. Probably over the next couple of years. So I just mentioned the other distros, just so you got some idea. So Ubuntu, Fedora, and SUSE all have ARMHF ports, exactly the same compiler options as ours, and everybody's building ARM64 stuff too. Fedora are furthest, I think, with a mostly built archive. They got past QT recently, which only takes 2 weeks to build on a model. So it's very annoying when you get most of the way and it goes wrong. They can only build natively, so they've got thousands of models building things astonishingly slowly. The Ubuntu port, I did a base image. We'll get onto that in a minute, actually. And SUSE have also got quite a lot of packages built. They're using secret source, which I can't remember is still secret or not. I don't think so. I think they're using QEMU rather than ARM's model, which is noticeably faster. But in the way of corporateness, that's the one little advantage they've got. So they're carefully not distributing it to anybody just yet. They'll have to eventually. And then there's the Raspbian people, which is ARMv6, VFP2 floating point instructions. But exactly the same ABI as everybody else. So, leaving that argument aside for a moment, ARM64 port bootstrap. ARM64 is going to be a big deal. Right now, today, hardware exists, but is much rarer than rocking horse shit. I don't know how many boards there are, but I know everybody wants one and very few people have got them. But that will change rapidly over the next few months. Certainly next year there'll be plenty of hardware, I hope, assuming some of it works. I think there have been some issues with the very first hardware, mostly working. But I did see a demo of it running, like decomposing two movies at once inside Zen containers, and it was all very fancy and really quite fast. It does work. So the Debian port of ARM64 is not at all, pretty much, at this stage. So I did a load of work, but mostly because of the freeze and the state of multi-arch and the cross-building tools, I had to do it in Ubuntu, which is annoying, but such is life. So there is an Ubuntu bootable image, which you can download and run in a model, or on some hardware, if you were so lucky. In Debian, we haven't even got a cross-tool chain yet. I keep trying to build one, and it keeps not working. This is very annoying. And if anyone would like to help, why I can't get a compiler that actually looks in user include, that would be great. So nothing's happened since February on that front, basically because I stopped doing it and work at Linaro said, no, stop bothering with that. We need you to do this other stuff instead. The distros will do it for us, they said. And I said, yeah, I bet Debian won't, you know. I think we'll find we are the distro. So oddly enough, none of you stood up and spent your lives cross-building ARM64 things very slowly on a model. So nothing has happened since February, apart from Doco, to be fair, actually, who has done some more stuff, but that's Ubuntu. So there isn't any hardware yet. We've always go, well, until there's some hardware, why should we start? Well, so there'll be some any minute now, and we probably need to start. So cross-tool chains is the first thing. Once there's some of those, that's the main reason nobody's done anything. They go, well, there's no cross-tool chain, and I'm not building one. When you give me one, I might do something. So I realise that badly needs fixing, and I failed to do it on the train on the way down all this week. Real soon now. What else haven't I mentioned? So there's a port page which contains all this information again, but there's a bug list. There's about 15 ARM64 bug fixes that haven't been applied, so apply your patches. And a big pile of multi-arch patches which haven't been applied. Some of them are well over a year old. Please apply those. I suspect the people in this room probably have. It's all the people who aren't here who go, I don't know what that's about, and I've ignored it. Or gone, we haven't got an ARM64 port, why should I apply that? Nearly all of those patches are update your config.sub. Turns out that's 60% of a new port work, which is a ridiculous state of affairs, but that's how the world works. PABS has tried to fix it upstream, but they've been quite resistant. So, yes, we need to set up a Debian ports box. So this has been helped by Huawei. Huawei are our best mates, it turns out. They recently joined Linaro and went, where's my Debian? We want Debian. None of this Ubuntu nonsense. our customers want Debian. They're big and important and have said so. So suddenly, because to be fair, everyone's gone, well, you've got Ubuntu. Do you really need to do Debian work as well? We've got a lot of things to do. You know, there's no shortage of breakage and software to write. And also, the reasonable point that Linaro is not a distribution. So they try not to do the distributions work. They just try and do the upstream work.
How is the name of the company spelled? I'm not...
Which company? Linaro.
I know how
that.
To spell
Huawei. Huawei. Write it down.
Could it just connect back to the server because you seems you're accessing?
Oh, right, yeah. No, I closed that window. I think it's up here, isn't it? File. Did it work? I could see them online as well, couldn't I? Yep. How do we know whether it's working?
It's not.
Well, I don't know. I click connect to server. Oh, right. Yeah, okay. You sure? You've got a copy? Not that Gobby scares me or anything. Oh, come on. I'm clicking. Can I disconnect and reconnect or something? Does that help? Disconnect from server. Subscribing, it says. Someone else could bring their laptop here that actually works. Oh, there's stuff in IRC. Is anyone watching IRC, by the way? I've just noticed people. Yeah, come on. Right, where was I? Yes, so Huawei have said that they wish Debian stuff to get done, which with a bit of luck means I can get back to doing this in my day job, which means it will go a hell of a lot faster than it does otherwise. Is anyone here who is specifically interested in helping make the ARM64 port happen?
We're interested that it
happens. Yeah, right, yeah, okay. It's fun, honest, it's quite cool. Yeah, okay. It's all right, everybody can download the free beer thing, and you all have hardware, it's just slow. Well, it's not infinitely slow, it's only like crappy ARM boards. It's, oh wow. So, what else do we get to? And the other thing that's slightly holding matters up is the build profile spec. So, this was mooted last year by me and Johannes, and people went, we don't want to use up a meta character, that would be a disaster. Please think of a different scheme. So, I'm not going to go into that too much detail. There's a wiki page. But if anybody objects violently to square brackets instead of angle brackets, please say so. I want, by the end of this week, anyone who's going to object to have objected, because we need to fix that. I sent you a mail last night about how I thought we should proceed. Yeah, so we're slightly stuck on getting the depackage people to agree, as usual, because the kind of best way to implement it means changing the dpackage API a bit, and they don't like that, which is fair enough. So we'll probably have to implement it in a slightly less flexible way, which would get things done. So the build profile stuff allows us to do bootstrapping automatically, which there is a GSOC project running again this year. Johannes is doing an excellent job of actually mentoring as my assistant mentor. And Alcmim in Brazil is doing the work, because I did an awful lot of hackery to get this done the first time, and we'd like to have an actual mechanism you run that says, please bootstrap this port from nothing, check it still works today, automatically unroll our circular dependencies, as I have talked about many times. So in the way of Debian, it takes 3 years to work out from working out how to do something to actually getting it in, but we're getting quite close, I think. Unfortunately, we missed getting that into Wheezy, so there'll be another cycle before we can actually use it in the archive. So, yeah, the ARM64 port is there. As I say, if I'm allowed to carry on working on it, I will do that. Otherwise, stuff will happen very slowly, and basically we get to rely on Ubuntu. It's probably easiest at this stage to actually use their bootstrap and rebuild everything. The only problem is that they're on DLC 2.18 now. I'm not quite sure what happens if you use a 2.18 image and then try and rebuild all of Debian. It's probably easiest to just move us along as well. So, the Raspberry Pi argument. So, there's those bloody Pi people with their stupid ARM v6 proprietary platform that irritates us all, and the best marketing machine in the world by several orders of magnitude. So they've sold millions, you know, we did our best to ignore them and be rude about them. Sadly, they didn't really work. And quite a lot of them are using Debian, effectively, because they're all running Raspbian, which is a fine piece of work. I should congratulate Messrs. Thompson and Green, I think, who've done all the work there. Sadly, they're not here. But hello out there on the internet. I don't know if they're watching. Yes, here's a plug wash. So, you know, we can just carry on like this, going, well, it's not right, and we don't support it very well. They should run RMEL. Nothing wrong with that. Or we could try and do more. There are an awful lot of potential users out there who are getting into the joy of ARM dev board fettling, and might be nice to bring them a bit closer. There's various ways we could do this. So the most obvious one, what we always do and have done for years, is build for the lowest ISA within an ABI that is popular. Hence, we still build for V4T for those OpenMoco weirdos, right? And only about 12 of them. So going, oh, well, we're not going to build for Raspbian seems a bit perverse. We should just build ARMHF for V6, VFP2 without thumb. It would go slower. I am not sure how much slower. It will be extremely useful if somebody did some research and said, you know, is it 10%? Is it 15%? Is it 1%? The thumb 2 thing probably makes most difference, actually. The ARM V6 versus ARM V7 is not a very big deal. There's a few extra instructions. The optimizations are a bit different on a V6, V7 core. And I guess, again, VFP3 versus VFP2 has a few extra instructions. But thumb 2, the code's half the size for effectively the same code base. So that does save you a lot of cache pressure, and is why all the phone people demanded it in the first place and why we've now made it the default. But I still don't know how much difference it really makes. Ah, here's a Colin who might actually know. Colin, excellent. We have a question for you already. Do we know how much faster ARMHF has done everywhere is than without thumb 2 and VFP and ARM V6? No. Okay. So it will be interesting if someone actually did some tests. Effectively, you just run the Raspbian binaries and ours on the same box and tell us how much difference it makes. Not very hard. All the work is done for you. Now we would then be slightly incompatible, and I'm not quite sure what sort of breakage that gets us. But anyway, so there's that option. Just build for the lowest common denominator. We could invent a new arch. Now, I personally think our architectures really ought to be about ABIs, not about instruction sets. But we could build both and call it ARMHF-V6 or something. That would work. It's not very difficult. So it's a matter of adding one line to depackage, rebuilding everything. Yeah, exactly, and then dealing with all the things which make V7 assumptions, because we've told the world that's the right thing to do for the last couple of years. Or we could actually do slightly more involved things to basically make it possible to use ARMEL with VFP2, so optimized binaries for things. So ARMEL allows there to be no floating point. It doesn't require there to be no floating point. Right? The whole point about the difference in the calling convention is that you can use floating point instructions if you've got a floating point unit. So you can make ARMEL binaries that use VFP2, and they will run nicely on your box and use the floating point unit. What we don't have in Debian is mechanism to... you could probably just build a repository of stuff. That's right, it's getting depackaged to go, oh, I've got these extra hardware capabilities, I should pick this package instead of that package. That's the piece that's always been missing to do this. And we thought about doing it a few years ago, mostly in the Linaro context, and went, nah, that's a lot of work and we don't really care enough, so we never did it. I was really hoping the Raspberry Pi people would implement it that way. They had a big incentive to do it properly, but it was much easier for them to go off and rebuild it all in a different bucket. Call it the same thing. So that's what they did. So yes, there's that. Now the thing there is, does anybody care enough to do that work? Because that actually involves some work. And it will take at least a year before you get it into real Debian. Got to go through another cycle because it's a depackage change, blah, blah, blah. So by the time they've finished, maybe we really won't care about Raspberry Pis anymore. And yes, you could argue that anything we do, actually, maybe the world will start taking notice and start using QB boards. But I suspect there's so much momentum behind this juggernaut, it'll go on for some time. Or we could just, you know, let the Raspbian people do the fine job they're already doing. So, does anyone have any comments or opinions on this problem? Apparently not.
Hello. So I think we should try to ask, why was it easier for the Raspbian people to do it on the side instead of using it the Debian infrastructure, so that it doesn't happen in the future?
Mostly because we told them to get lost.
Okay. So that's easy to fix in the future.
Well, no, we said we're not changing our base ABI, base instruction set, because all the distros have agreed this one, and you're weird. So they took that answer reasonably and went, okay, we won't try and do it in Debian. So we could have been more accommodating in the beginning and said, oh yeah, let's just turn it down. But, you know, I think the right answer probably was to say, no, we're not doing that. Because we've gone to a lot of trouble to get everyone to agree on a baseline. So, yes, that's why. It's not at all technically difficult to just rebuild ARMHF for, you know, two guys did it for most of Debian.
But would it be possible to get these two guys to move it to Debian as a new architecture?
Well, so as soon as it's a new architecture, that's slightly harder, because now dpkg has to have a new architecture added, which isn't really a new architecture, it's just a new ABI.
True.
A new instruction set, sorry. And yeah, it's not technically that hard to do that. But it won't be real Debian again for another release. So yeah, and that's probably the easiest thing to do. If we wanted to bring it inside, we just tell dpkg. So they'd get all their packages changed from being called ARMHF to being called ARMHF V6 or something, which they may not be that enthused about at this stage, because now it's a transition for them. So I have had people emailing me saying, we really need to fix the Raspberry Pi problem, and I tried using Raspbian, but it's not actually that good because of things that aren't in there.
I'm thinking the devices are out there. We have new capabilities in Debian by now regarding cross-grading. And I feel like we should accommodate just all these users, and it should not come across as a hostile takeover of the Raspbian world, of course. We should be clear about that, but we're inviting we made a mistake kind of turning it around. But I think technically we can do it. We can say, okay, ARMHF is built by default for a lower instruction set, and once we maybe sort the partial architecture thing out, or we have a system similar to the libc 686 or something for optimizing some stuff on the CPUs with a newer instruction set, we can do this all within the same ABI basically. So I think that's the thing to remember. If we compile for a slightly older CPU and compatible to the ABI that we have deployed in ARMHF and that Raspbian has deployed in ARMHF, I think everybody will win, and the possibilities for other interesting and good things to come out of working together there, I think, are greater.
Okay, so for that to happen, someone needs to do some speed tests just to see, so we have some idea of how much a hit we take there. We've always, as I said, traditionally picked the lowest thing and not worried too much about the 10% speed it cost you. it's kind of annoying going backwards, but such is life. We really ought to fix the don't have a good way of picking packages according to my hardware capabilities, so that we could rebuild the stuff that matters for faster optimizations. So, you know, interesting, the x86 people have had this problem for years, and we've just hacked around it by inventing mplayer i686 in packaging and libc i686, which is kind of hacky, really. We should do it properly. But again, it's all very nice saying we should do it properly. Who is volunteering to put hardware capability flags into dpackage? It's not very difficult. We wrote a spec at a UDS about 3 years ago. We already have hardware capabilities in the kernel. You know, that's how the MMX or SSE or whatever it is works on x86. Do I have these instructions? So we just have the same flags in ARM. Now, at the moment, the flags the kernel uses aren't quite what you want. We'd have to, but we've already asked the kernel people, and they said, yeah, send us a list of flags. We don't care. It's easy. So that's effectively the set of flags you want to store in dpackage to say this was built for these options. Does it match the options running on the box in front of me? If so, use that optimized package. And then we just have to work out how we layer our archive. Just.
That would mean that the architecture would be kind of a two-staged thing, so you'd have packages explicitly built packages for the different versions, or would they all go in
package? Yeah, exactly. You'd rebuild some packages where it actually makes a detectable difference for a different instruction set or floating point option, and then you'd have a mechanism for. So it's basically partial archives. So it's having an overlay of part of the archive so that you put both in your apt sources list, and it picks them. Or we have magic in the archive, so they kind of appear as an overlay without you having to say so explicitly.
Good. They're also supporting BeagleBones, QBBoards, and other ARM machines. Get them in Debian.
Yep.
So right now we are also losing the people with that hardware.
No, because they have proper hardware, which is all V7 ARMHF. They can just run ARMHF. Works perfectly. Only Raspberry Pis are special and have V6 hardware. That's not true. There's Shiva plugs are V6, I think. Is that right? Or are they V5?
They're V5.
Okay. Well, whatever came after a Shiva plug. A Dream plug, is that a V6?
V5 as well.
Okay. Well, there's a few other V6s out there. There aren't very many of them, which is why it got more or less skipped in the world of what instruction sets should we build for.
So they already went back in time.
Sorry, what? You missed the beginning. Open Mako people. But you're right, as I pointed out, there are many fewer of those than there are Raspbian, and we cater for that. So by the same token, we should cater for this. So, I don't care, except in principle. I'm doing ARM64 things. So if anyone wants to see this move forward, they will have to do some work. Plugwash doesn't think much of a new architecture name, i.e. ARMHF-V6. So that leaves downgrading and having a partial archive, I think. What we really want, of course, is to get some of those people to come and actually do this work, because there's millions of Pi users. Some of them must be competent. Yeah, I know. Well, we can make them competent. They'll become competent over time, you know? That's the whole point. That's how this works. Most of us didn't know how to build things for different ARM ABIs a few years ago. Other things, just before we run out of time. ARM kernels now, there really is an ARM MP kernel which builds for multiple platforms. So they're trying to make ARM world a lot more like x86 world. You will soon be getting UEFI on your boards instead of U-boot and crazy other weird bootloaders. Actually, we've pretty much got rid of the crazy other bootloaders. Microphone, already.
You'll soon be getting grub as well.
Yes, exactly. So
that's landed upstream.
Because, especially ARM64 is driving this, but there's already ARM32 servers. You can get a, whatever it is, 32-blade ARM server thing at great expense to stick in your rack. And they want those computers to look exactly like their old computers. So UEFI and grub for booting. Which is actually great for us distro people because it means every board isn't different and we haven't got to have a whole lot of mechanism in DI for whatever crazy shit's needed on this particular board. Much as UEFI smells, it is at least consistent and you can do sensible things with it.
Sorry, just a question. In the I don't know if you know the answer, but in the secure boot session on Tuesday, whenever it was, you know, people observed the well-known thing that Microsoft's logo guidelines for ARM forbids the user from installing their own keys. Now, the assertion has been, of course, floating around that most people who are dealing with Linux-based ARM devices don't care about the Microsoft logo guidelines because they're on, say, a Windows Surface or something, and we don't care. But do you have any feeling for whether for what people who are actually making ARM-based UEFI devices that we do care about are doing in this regard?
Not really. So all the ones doing kind of little dev boards, you know, the QB board people and EOMA PC 68, whatever it is, all that sort of stuff, you know, they're not very enthused about a UEFI, really. They were quite happy with their U-boot, and they don't really want to have to change.
And I suspect that a lot of those just aren't doing secure boot at all.
Exactly, and none of them could care less
fine.
About Windows.
Although there are certainly people who care about the secure boot when the user is in control of the keys.
Indeed. So the dev board people, yeah, I guess they don't really care at all. But the people making anything kind of, you know, commercial server boxes and Chromebooks and that kind of stuff, I guess they do care. So, I mean, I suppose Chromebooks, you know,
Chromebooks
are Google,
fairly locked down, aren't they?
Yes. I mean, and in some ways it's worse. There's a nice developer switch, but once you flick the developer switch, I think it deletes all your data and you have to start again.
And you don't have access to DRM.
Okay.
So once you go to developer mode, you can't play any DRM movies or files or anything because all of that doesn't work, so Netflix doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah. That's sort of understandable. I can see why they were forced to do that, but yeah.
So, I'm not sure. What was there something behind your question? Like, what?
Not
just,
really.
Just how much do we have to care about that problem, you mean?
Just curiosity about whether our assumption that it will probably be okay, that we won't get screwed on secure boot and ARM,
checking
whether that assumption is actually valid.
The thing that's going to happen is in a couple of years' time, you'll actually be able to buy half-decent ARM laptops. I mean, a Chromebook's already quite a good laptop, apart from having a peculiar keyboard. There will be more of that sort of thing, and you know those people will probably follow the Windows rules so that you could run Windows on it. Maybe that's how it'll ship. So all the things
right.
that ship
and
like
in that,
that
case, that
we're
would
just
be very
be,
that would be very unfortunate.
Yeah, we're just going to be knackered for those devices. So I mean, you know, it's like all those thousands of Windows phones and things, which basically nobody's ever been able to get booting Linux because it's too hard. There'll probably be quite a lot of hardware which effectively ends up in the TiVo class. Sorry, 10 minutes, right. What I was wondering is, I'm not sure how much work we have to do in Debian to make multi-platform kernels work. So the idea is that your device supplies a device tree with its bootloader, and all you have to do is load your multi-platform kernel. But right now that doesn't work, because you generally don't get a device tree in the bootloader, and even if you did, it would be wrong because they keep changing it.
I know that people have got. We've got Calceda nodes, working on Ubuntu as our new buildies. I don't know what their bootloader setup was and how much effort was involved there. I believe that they did work with essentially the distro multi-platform kernel, so there's some hope there, I think.
Right. Yes. I mean, that work is ongoing in Linaro. We're all trying to make this work so that there's actually a very small number of kernels. And from Debian's point of view, this is marvelous. You know, we don't have to build 15 ARM kernels. That makes our kernel build much faster. Now, of course, we'll soon have super fast ARM hardware, so we won't care so much anymore. But it's all good. But there's probably some work involved in making it.
Well, so at least for OMOP, it's important anyway, because they shut off their old support, so they need device tree even without the multi-platform kernel.
Right.
So.
Okay, but so if you buy a BeagleBone Black, does it come with a device tree that actually works with an arbitrary kernel? Anyone tried it? Okay, we don't know. I probably know someone in Linaro who knows. I guess I should ask them. Before I run out of time, I should mention there's going to be a mini DebConf in November at ARM's offices in Cambridge. Mr. McIntyre has made this happen, and ARM are coughing up some facilities and money. So,
how can one sign up?
There's a wiki page there. So far, me and Steve are going, so if somebody else would like to come, please sign up. So we probably need some talks and stuff. Attempt quadruple the attendance. Yes, exactly. It's a mini DebConf. Please come along and give interesting talks. It'll be 4 days, two at the weekend, two during the week. So basically, we get kind of a room during the 2 days it's at work. And the weekend, basically, we can fill the atrium place at ARM, which is very nice. It should be cool. So I guess there will be a focus on army things and this kind of subject. Please, microphone over there.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that if you need funding to be able to attend, just talk to me.
Cool. We're hoping to make ARM pay for it all, but I think they said they wouldn't pay for the food or something, so I'm not sure. There's some bits, but they've got pots of money. They really ought to be able to afford to pay for our mini DebConf. I've seen the figures. They don't charge very much for each chip, but they have sold a lot. Is there anything I've forgotten? We have 5 minutes. Is anybody actually going to do anything about the Raspbian problem? Any volunteers? Looks at IRC. Okay, well, it might change, it might not, I guess. Come back next year for... I've read that. Unless it's changed. It excludes one of the options for how we might change things, which would be invent a new architecture called HF V6. Even though that's quite an easy option. They're saying they don't fancy that much, which is fair enough. I wouldn't either at this point. I guess the other thing we didn't really cover was if we could do more for Raspbian, just leave things as they are with this sort of external port, because then we don't have to change any infrastructure anywhere, but just pretend it's more like real Debian. It's a derivative.
So if we were actually deciding to replace all the packages in ARMHF with packages for a lower
ISA
instruction set, how would you go about that? Would we prepare everything in a port and ask FTP masters to move it over?
I think you just rebuild each package as you go along. Ubuntu have gone back from V7 to V5, so they can probably tell us just what breaks. No?
So that was for our ARMEL port, yeah. Which probably shouldn't have been bumped up to V7 in the first place, but it was before ARMHF existed, and some companies you might be familiar with were pestering us about it. So we decommissioned the ARMEL port, our ARMEL port in Raring, that's 1304. So 1304 and onwards do not contain ARMEL. But we thought that before we did so, it might be quite nice to back rev it to ARM V5, ARM V5 ET, I believe.
Right.
So Quantel Men, so 1210 Men, we rebuilt everything in the main components, so just sort of supported packages for ARM v5 ET, with the intention that people who wanted to start from there and do something useful might be able to do so. Of course, they're stuck in an unsupported release, so or well, soon to be going out.
But by and large, things, not too many things broke.
But
by and large, it
seemed to work. It's quite hard to tell because nobody was using it anymore.
Yeah.
So
I guess the problem, actually, from our point of view, is if we use our standard mechanisms, we don't get a rebuild until we get a new upload.
You can bin enemy
right.
a batch of stuff.
Okay, so you just
anybody with wanna build access can do that.
Right.
So.
So yeah, so I mean the point is it's you could just rebuild as you go along because it's forward compatible. All these binaries will still work, just a tiny bit slower. So yeah, you just rebuild the whole damn thing until you've finished. Some of those builds will in fact, if done on a V7 machine, which they will come out wrong. They haven't actually gone back to V6 because they ignored the compiler defaults and set their own. And you know, we'll have to catch all those. But it's not hard to... I think some tools have already been written to just run through and look for V7 instructions. So you just run it through another Lintian check that says, does this have instructions it shouldn't have? So technically, it's not at all difficult to do that part. The technically difficult part is the being able to partially do rebuild some of the archive as it is now for optimization purposes and have both available to someone. We don't have that capability at the moment. Dpackage couldn't care less about instruction sets, optimizations. I mean, it will work for libc and mplayer because they've done it in the packaging. I don't know what else, how many other packages have bothered.
So, it doesn't make sense possibly to go about it the other way around and say we copy the builds that we have at the moment, targeting. To the port stream so that people who want to play with more performance stuff have just another tree that they can add.
Could do that, I suppose. It's easy.
Why not use the runtime selection libc offers?
Yes.
Things like OpenSSL use it on many architectures to be compiled for different hardware.
It's true.
And choose the one they want.
So
it's only that you have for the optimized libraries multiple versions of the same package.
Yes.
But I guess even for ARM.
So it's true. There is a functionality called ifunc in libc, which allows you to build multiple versions of a function, and then it'll choose at load time. I think once which one it should use for this hardware. So effectively, it's kind of fat binary thing. So you haven't got two copies of the binary; you've got two copies of some functions. The problem mostly is that you have to rewrite your software to use that and do multiple builds with different options when you build it. But yeah, anyone can do that anywhere. That already works, so you don't need any Debian infrastructure for it.
This way, you just have to compile two times in the package and install to the right locations, and not even change anything at the software.
So that's using multi-lib. Doco can tell us how hard that is.
You just have to change the packaging for every package.
Well, every package that benefits from the speed-up.
Yes. So you're right. That could be done too. And maybe it's not even craziness.
It's an arm ball.
We've run out of time. Sorry. Thank you very much. Just before everyone goes, how many people think we should downgrade ARMHF to V6? 1, 2, 3. Okay, a few. How many people think we definitely shouldn't?
A few more.
About twice as many. Okay, so we're not entirely persuaded, but there is some thought that maybe we should. Who thinks we should do something to be nice to the Pi people? Okay, so we would like to be nice to the Pi people, but we're not sure how. Thank you very much.